You're listening to The Record Industry with Otto D. Coming at you live.
Shot like a steering through the Eiffel Tower.
Yes, which way, what, when, how? Mr. Otto D, flip the track right now.
Hey, I'm Otto D. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to listen to some great music and talk to some really cool people. And I know there's a lot of things you could be doing, so I appreciate that you're getting with this.
Here we go! Another day, another strike! Here we go!
But they ain't got no rent. Act like you own the joint. Money don't mean much if you ain't got no sense.
Hey, I'm Otto D. Thanks for tuning in. If you know any songwriters that are trying to make it in the country music scene, call them. Get them online quick. They need to meet tonight's guest, Chris Keaton. So, while I'm sitting in my room waiting for you to call your friends, here's Dunn from the band Perry.
You've been wearing that crown and tearing me down. It's been a while since you treated me right. You strung me along for far too long, cause I never gave up the fight. Until now, it's gonna hit you hard till you see stars. It's gonna put you through a world of hurt. Oh, I don't believe in getting even, but getting what you deserve. Place. You play with dynamite, don't be surprised when I blow up in your face.
Done.
And that was done by the band Perry. I love the energy in that track. Capped off with Kimberly Perry's little I'm Done With You grunt. I don't know if you caught that, but in fact, here, let me just play that little grunt one more time.
All I wanna be is done. All I wanna be is done. Ugh.
I love that. I think that's, I love to see a little bit of comedy in there and the attitude and character that that represents. But enough silliness. Let's get back to about as serious as we get. And I would like to introduce to you what is going to be a real treat for you. It's my guest tonight is a man who has made his career building the careers of others, really. And on behalf of his affiliated songwriters, he has successfully placed tunes with Brooks and Dunn, Martina McBride, George Strait, Trisha Yearwood, and the list goes on. His name is Chris Keaton. And Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, man, thank you very much for having me on, and please don't quit talking about me just because I'm here.
Listen, I really appreciate you taking the time to call in tonight and spend some time with me to talk about music and some of the things you've done. How's the weather in Nashville tonight? Cool?
You know what? Actually, we're getting hammered with some rain tonight, which is fine. I mean, the plants love it, but we just had a really beautiful weekend. And
I heard the weather was good.
Yeah, actually somebody told me today, they said, you know, as long as it rains during the week, that's fine. Let's just have a nice weekend. So I'm good with that.
I hear you. Well, that's good. I'm glad it's raining to keep you inside to make the phone call. Oh, it's always beautiful out here. And in Phoenix, it's really, really nice. And this is the best time of year. They've got the culinary festival all week long, so everybody's enjoying food and drink in Scottsdale. And the spring training just ended, so everybody's been going to baseball games. It's really, really nice.
So, fantastic.
Back to work, I suppose. But listen, you know, a couple things before we dive into a lot of the music in particular. For example, you've already had quite a handful of number one hit songs that you've placed with artists. And I think that while some of my audience is music industry aware, a lot of them are just music fans who really don't understand the concept of song placement or what song plugging really means. Can you kind of give me an overview of what that role is?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, the truth of it is, Otto, I am basically a middleman. I mean, songwriters who do wonderful creative work, typically most songwriters don't like to do anything but that. And the best ones really, I mean, they're freed up by the fact that they don't do anything other than write songs. But they need to have somebody to present those songs to artists and record labels and music supervisors to try to get them recorded or placed or, you know, just in the mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I do. I engage my services with songwriters and then take their songs to artists and A&R reps and producers and try to get those songs cut. And if we are successful at getting those songs cut, and I get paid, I get a piece of the percentage as we go forward.
Sure.
So it's a nice relationship because, you know, the truth of it is, I mean, writers could do this. They could do my job on their own, but it would take away from their creative time. What I really see philosophically and in a deeper sense for what I really do for songwriters is I free them up and allow them to have the freedom to be the best songwriters they can possibly be. Because they don't have to worry about going out and pitching songs and taking rejection and whatever else it is I have to do to get the songs cut.
Well, you know, I see a parallel with artists these days because most artists find that they have to not only write songs and perform them, but they have to record their own record in the studio they built in their house. They have to shoot video and edit it and then give it all away in HD video for free to their fans to try to get a foothold. And that takes a lot of time away from the work that they should be doing, just working on their own material and their own artistry. I can see that.
I agree. And, you know, it's an interesting place that we find ourselves in the state of the art or the industry these days.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, you're right. I mean, a lot of artists do have to do all those things, and some of them are pretty good at it. But when you back away from all that and stop and think about it for a second, how much better could they be?
Oh, I know. It's
if
sad.
They were turning things over to someone else.
Yeah, it's really sad that they have to, that they've been given the inexpensive tools enough to convince themselves that it's better that they do all of that because it's cheap than do one thing really great and then have an opportunity to be presented really, really well. But it's the battle they're up
exactly.
against, you know, I get it. But listen, your career is much more than song placement. But before we go beyond that, to stay on this point just for a moment, how do you find material in general? Do you have people sending you thousands of songs constantly, or do you not allow that? Do you not give yourself access to people in general, or how do you find material?
You know, I find material a lot of different ways. I do have a website which allows people to find me. I'm very well connected in the industry just because I've been around it for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really go out scouting for stuff. I take a lot of referrals. I have some attorneys and some agents who send me stuff all the time. And just friends and people who I know around the country. So there's no real
right.
there's no real clear path on how I find songs. But
right.
they kind of find me, Otto. I right. mean, it's pretty amazing, really, to be honest.
Well, like Ken Cragen wrote it, you know, it's a life is a contact sport. Well, tell you what, the music business is a contact sport. You know enough, just personally, I'm sure, you know enough good songwriters that you'd never have to meet another person to fill all the songwriting needs you'd ever need. You know, I mean, there's a lot of talent out there. And so for someone to get to you, they have to know you or know somebody that knows you or have that opportunity to be discovered by someone who can then present them to you.
Yeah, but, you know, for me... A lot of it is this, and it's kind of sad to really admit this, but a lot of it's fear of missing out.
Mm-hmm,
I mean,
mm-hmm.
listen, there are a lot of times I come home at night and I go, oh man, maybe I should go to the showcase because this guy could be playing a song that somebody else is going to get that they can pitch.
Well, that's exciting, you know, to hear. I'm glad
I totally feel that way.
That's cool.
Because, you know, we're only here for a short time,
mm-hmm.
and we have to, you know, not to get real spiritual on anybody or anything, but you know what, God gives us gifts,
mm-hmm.
and my gift is to hear songs or hear material or find artists who I get excited about and then want to share it with somebody else.
Right.
Well, my gift back to God is to utilize that gift.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's my job.
I love that. I love that because I can tell you, you know, I've been in the business for 30 years plus myself, and knocking on a door and getting that door to open when you don't know somebody can be the toughest thing sometimes, especially for an artist who's representing themselves. It can be really difficult. So it's wonderful that you feel a responsibility to not miss something. I think that's incredibly important, especially in a role of A&R, which I think is missing in my experience.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'll tell you, it really does come from my background as an artist, because in the 80s, I was pitching myself as an artist, and I would go to New York. I was living in Virginia. I would go to New York, and I would plan 4 meetings a day,
mm-hmm.
and that was it. And the reason for that was if I got rejected, it would take me about an hour to bring myself back up to be able to go back
and try
it again.
Well, that's smart to plan.
Well, I got to tell you, the funniest thing that ever happened was one time I was actually in Los Angeles pitching myself as an artist, and it was the end of the day, and I'd been rejected 3 times, and I was on my 4th meeting. And at the old A&M lot mm-hmm. in Hollywood, I went to the gate, and I told the guy who I was going in to see. He picks up the phone, you know, hangs it up and says, well, they can't really see you right now. Why don't you just give me your tape? Of course, at this time... It was a cassette tape.
Right.
And I looked at him. I said, you know what? Why don't I just do you and me a favor? Let's just do you and me both a favor. I'm just going to do this. And I threw it in this trash can. And I turned around and walked away.
Oh,
and he's
goodness.
Like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Wait a minute. Called me back, picked it up out of the trash can, and I got into the guy's office. Now, ultimately, I still got passed on. But by taking that bold step, I at least got in the guy's office.
You know, and that's really what it takes. And I have to tell you a funny A&M story as well. I was on the lot in the A&R director's office at one point, and I saw this pile of cassette tapes on his desk, and we were just going through. And I said, what's all that? And he goes, oh, all this is today's reviews. I'm supposed to listen to these today, but I can't listen to these. I'm in charge of so-and-so's album and so-and-so's album. And we're like, what do you do? And he says, okay, sit down. And we all sat in his little office, and he took his hand and he stuck it into the pile of tapes and swished them around and pulled one cassette out. And then we sat and listened to three songs on that cassette. He made us listen to three songs to make sure we didn't like it. And then he took it, put it back in the pile, pushed them all on the garbage can, and said, we'll see what tomorrow brings. And we went on to our meeting. And it was,
you know, it's
amazing how hard it is even to get in. And they don't have time to review everything that could even be submitted to them.
Well, and, you know, and it is, that's the sad state of it. But, you know, Otto, with what you do now and what I do now, we have to kind of turn it around too. And,
yeah,
and we sympathize with those guys because they're inundated. Just like you said, they're supposed to listen to all those songs every day,
yeah,
but they're in charge of so-and-so's album and so-and-so's album. And so, you know, it's tough.
It is. It is. And so it's interesting that you came up as an artist. I was going to ask you because I wasn't sure, so I was glad to hear that. What inspired you to go into music in the first place, or who, should I say?
February 9th, 1964.
Mm-hmm.
The Beatles on Ed Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I was 9 years old. And so everybody who can do the math, they'll figure out how old I am.
He's right behind you.
but I remember sitting there in my grandmother's living room watching the Beatles on Ed Sullivan and thinking to myself, that's what I want to do the rest of my life. Now, originally it was to be a rock star.
Sure, that's how it all
now,
starts, you know.
Yes, and that sort of morphed into now I'm a deal maker and a song plugger and an artist manager, but I still get to live a rock star lifestyle,
mm-hmm,
you know, on my terms.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's my life is a lot of fun. I feel like Jerry Weintraub every day. I wake up and I'm living the dream.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Well, you're in the arts. You're with all the great people. You're with the movers and shakers. You're making records that make a difference, and then you can still go to the grocery store and to the movies if you want. And so you get the best
right,
without the fame part, you know.
That's well, right. I don't have to get on the bus.
That's exciting. Yeah, exactly. That's exciting. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to spin a record real quick, and then we'll give you a second to take a break. And this is one of the songs that you placed with Brooks and Dunn, Building Bridges. And on this particular cut, the guests are Sheryl Crow and Vince Gill. So it's a pretty incredible record. Can you tell me just a quick story about how that song came to be?
I definitely can, and this is a really wonderful story. So my dear friend Bo Goldson, who he and his father owned Criterion Music in Los Angeles, they were the publishers on the song, and they had hired me as their representative in Nashville. Well, one day, Tony Brown called me from MCA Records,
mm-hmm,
and he said, hey, you're repping Criterion, right? And I said, yeah. And he said, bring me a copy of Building Bridges. And I said, okay, I'll bring it right over. So I made a CD, took it over to his office, came back. 30 minutes later, he called and said, I want to put the song on hold.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the heart to tell him I had not played this song for anybody before. No, there was no interest in it whatsoever. And I said, okay, no problem. It's on hold. And he said, good. He said, because Ronnie Dunn remembers singing this song back in the 80s in the clubs in Oklahoma. I said, okay, that's great.
Oh, wow.
And then 2 days later, Tony calls back and says, send a lyric sheet over. We're cutting this song today. Oh, by the way, we're bringing in Vince Gill and Sheryl Crow because we're going to go for a Grammy on this. Dude, I'm going to tell you what. I couldn't breathe for about an hour after that.
I was going to say.
I mean, it was.
That's fast.
It was the easiest pitch I've ever made in my whole life. Truthfully,
wow,
the biggest song I've ever had cut. And truly, I mean, the thing of it is I would love to say, oh, yeah, I really worked hard to get the song cut.
Right,
oh,
right.
Man, I really I was digging ditches. And I just basically took the order.
That's fantastic. You know, but it is having the right wares and being in the right place at the right time and being able to facilitate it. That works out great. You know, sometimes it doesn't go like that. So that's okay.
That's very
one
true.
Does, you know? Well, let's take a quick listen to Building Bridges. It's an incredible track.
Fantastic.
Since How long can this keep going on? I'm still blue over losing you. What else am I gonna do? I'm building bridges to your heart, and all of this distance won't keep us apart, won't keep us apart. Talk to me, talk to me about sympathy. Begging on my knees. Since you've gone, my heart says something's wrong. How long can this keep going on? I'm building bridges apart, won't keep us apart. I'm building bridges to your heart, and all of this distance won't keep us apart, won't keep us apart. I'm building bridges,
I'm building bridges
straight to your heart, and all of this distance won't keep us apart, won't keep us apart.
I'm building bridges
straight to your heart. You're
listening to The Record Industry with Otto D.
Hey, this is Otto D for the Wallman Eye Center. I've been wearing trifocals with three different prescriptions in each lens for years, and I was always jerking my head up and down, side to side, as I tried to find the right part of the lens to look through. It was always annoying. I decided I'd had enough, and that's why this year I sought out Dr. Wallman at the Wallman Eye Center, a trusted ophthalmologist in Arizona for over 30 years. The Wallman Eye Center is the only facility in Arizona using the latest custom topography guided laser to assist in detailed mapping of the surface of your eyes. In my one-on-one consultation with Dr. Wallman, he described how he could tailor the process to match my eyes, giving me the comfort level I needed to trust him and his staff to do the procedure. If you want freedom from your prescription glasses or contacts, then trust me. It's time for your tailored LASIK outcome. You can count on Dr. Wallman at the Wallman Eye Center. I did, and I couldn't be happier. Call 602-222-2020. That's 602-222-2020.
And how's that for a phone number for an optometrist? 2020.
You gotta love it.
Yeah, and his address is 2020 North Central Avenue. It's brilliant how that worked out. But listen, just to remind everybody, I am here with Chris Keaton from Chris Keaton Music in Nashville, Tennessee. And Chris, I understand that you also work in doing artist development for clients and artist management as well. And right now you're representing, managing an artist by the name of Johnny Orr and his band. Tell me a little bit about what Johnny's doing and what's going on.
Well, Johnny is a really great, soulful, country singer from Raleigh, North Carolina. And we've been kind of connected for about the last 5 or 6 years. But a year and a half ago, he came up with a song that was really, really special, and it was about autism, and it was written from the perspective of a child who has autism.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to get ourselves connected with some folks to really help us out. We shot a video. The video's got about 500,000 views.
Wow.
And then we were connected with a guy who is building an app for iPhone and Android for families who are dealing with special needs children.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the whole premise. Not to jump off on this, but I mean, this is really kind of amazing to think about it. So if you're a family with a child with special needs, and in your hometown, you figure out where you can go, and there are restaurants and hotels and theaters and places that are friendly to mm-hmm. those kinds of families. But if you go traveling, yeah, all bets are off. So
right.
This guy named Tuffer Wirtz, who is an autism dad, has come up with an app where people nationwide, worldwide, can dial in places in their local, you know, towns or neighborhoods that are autism or special needs friendly. So it's a
That's
real
awesome.
Community. It's autismvillage.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the coolest thing we ever saw. And we really reached out to a lot of other autism-friendly websites and awareness groups, but this is the one that made the most sense. So, consequently, Johnny was just on Fox and Friends this past Saturday on the 11th and played nationwide. And he's touring behind this song and also two songs that he's got at country radio. So it's been sort of an interesting thing. I mean, I never thought that I would be particularly involved with an artist who was also involved with the charity. But
mm-hmm.
And it's been a wonderful thing because we're helping people in the autism community
mm-hmm.
and we're also helping Johnny's career. So it's pretty great stuff.
Well, and it's amazing when you do give back what happens. I did a record in Phoenix for 5 years for United Cerebral Palsy called Mary Arizona, and we featured local artists and a lot of the big local guys as well. So some of my clients that were here, like Glenn Campbell, would be on the record, and I actually had an opportunity to record the first duet with both Buck Owens and Glenn Campbell together. They'd known each other, and they'd worked on, even as he was a guest on Hee Haw once, Glenn was, but they'd never played together on a record, and I hadn't realized that. We did a duet cover of Santa Looked a Lot Like Daddy, and it was pretty awesome to be the one to put those two guys together one time. But
dude, what was that like to have them both in the studio at the same time?
Well, we actually did it in two rooms because at that point, Buck wanted to record in California where he was living, and I cut
mm-hmm.
Glenn here in Phoenix, so we were taking the tracks back and forth. But it was pretty neat because Glenn was the one who expressed to me how exciting it was to actually record with Buck Owens on a track. And when you see somebody at that level expressing some sort of giddy, wow, this is cool, you know, that's pretty special when you can still bring something like that to them. So it was
that's
really
fantastic.
Fun. We raised $500,000 for the local UCP office and gave an opportunity for a lot of artists to get some exposure on a decent level. So, you know, when you do those kinds of things, it's really wonderful for everybody all around.
So, I agree. That's
so now,
wonderful.
You mentioned that he was on Fox and Friends on Saturday. And were they playing that song live then too, and as well as being interviewed? I missed the show.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they did play the song live, and they interviewed Johnny and also Tuffer Wirtz and his son Kirby, who is autistic.
Oh, fantastic!
And you know, I mean, it's an interesting place for people to be. I'm in awe of parents of autistic children because, you know, we may think we have it bad every day, and we may think we have challenges every day, but we really don't even know. I mean, it's astounding. But they have the best outlook. Those parents are so grateful for everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what I'd like to do. You know how the show goes? I've got a few segments I want to squeeze into our conversation.
Yeah.
And we have a thing called Sam Says, which is my broadcast co-partner currently and temporarily, and who knows for how long, is the legendary soul man Sam Moore. And Sam's going to call in a few minutes and we'll chat with him. But before we do that, I want to spin this song of Johnny's that you're using for. It's also being promoted for Autism Awareness Month, correct?
Yes, that's right. The whole month of April is Autism Awareness Month in the U.S.
Fantastic.
And so we're really pushing the song.
And the tune's available on iTunes. People can buy it. And it's called We'll Get By. So we're going to spin that real quick. And then by the time the song's over, hopefully I'll have Sam on the line and we'll chat with him for just a second. All right.
Fantastic.
Here we go. This is We'll Get By with Johnny Orr Band.
Maybe I don't speak too well, but I'm coming out of my shell, and I like playing by myself. If you can't tell, I like to go to school. Yeah, I'm a miracle, and I'm glad to be alive. If you'll wait patiently, well then eventually I will understand the words that you're saying to me. My autism is like a prison that I'm in. I share my heart, but only in my mind. I share my pain when I scream at night. I can't express to you cry. Mom, I see your fear through every single tear. Just to know I've caused you pain from inside of here. And my autism is like a prison that I'm in. For him to heal me, maybe one day you won't have to pray, and I won't have to see you cry. Maybe one day I won't be this way. Till then, we'll get by.
Okay, and that's We'll Get By with the Johnny Orr Band. And now, I got my co-sponsor, co-host here, great. I'm doing real good. So tonight our show is a country music show, and I was thinking that I would play a cut you did with Conway Twitty. You guys did a duet with Rainy Night in Georgia.
We did.
Do you have any, do you recall that session? What was it like working with Conway?
I gotta say, well, first of all, I had never, for years I heard his music. using his material and things of that nature. And one of the first things I ever heard before anything, it was a rock and roll song called Only Make Believe. So, but I had never met him. Then I heard some things, some songs that was written by him, what the other artists had done. And so, to make a still long story short, what happened is, I was home one time, and the phone rang, and the producers from MCA called and said, "Look, Sam, what do you know Conway Twitty?" And I said, "Not really. Have you ever met him?" "No, but I've heard his songs." He said, "Oh, okay. How would you think if we ask you to say with Conway?" And I said, "Man, yeah, I wouldn't mind that. I don't, you know." So they said, well, I said, "Well, what is it?" They said, "Well, what I misunderstood anything when they said Rainy Night in Georgia." I thought they were saying another song by the Gladys Knight and the Pimps. Mm-hmm. And they said, no, Sam, that's not the song. We're talking about the song that Brooke Bennett done." Oh, I said, "Oh, okay." So I listened to the track, and I knew the song, but I didn't know the words of it. So okay, so I went down, and when I got there, I gotta tell you, he was standing outside to greet me, and he and his wife, and I walked up, and I was so nervous. I blew it the first time I walked up to him. I really did. I'm telling you, Otto, I blew it. I walked up to him, and this is what I did. I said, I looked up at him, and I said, "How you doing?" And I was messing the name around. I said, "Mr. Twitty, Mr. Otto." Oh, man, it was just going out. So he laughed. So he said, "Hello, Sam, how you doing?" I said, "Fine." And my nerves got, when he spoke to me, my nerves got worse. I said, "Wow.
That's pretty wild.
I said, Conway, all that hair you got on your head." And everybody looked at me, and his wife with the laughing, and I said, "Oh, God." Well, what brought to that? We went inside, and we talked, and other people were going to be recording that day, B.B. King and George, and all, everybody was going to be singing. So we went in, and we were behind. Now, the things what you hear at the very end when I'm saying Conway, you know, do the Brook Benn thing and blah, 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 right. Blah, blah, and he says, "I can't do it, Bruce Sam." And all that was left in because we were bonding, and we were talking about a lot of stuff, and I was asking him where the name Conway come from and all this stuff. And while they were getting this stuff, the song together, I said, his wife said to me, she said, "Sam," she said, "I want to talk to you a minute." I'm going, "Oh, God, well, I done messed up. So they said, "No." She said, "Sam, when you were talking about Conway's hair," I said, "Yeah." I said, "No, it's real pretty." I said, "Real nice and silver." And she said, no. "That's not bad." And she said, "What you were looking at was his wig." It was a wig, Otto. And my nerves really dropped then. I wanted to run to go to the bathroom. I was so nervous. And I was a wig. He said, "Yeah." Well, they had to call us on the carpet, Otto, because we were running our mouths, we were bonding, and he said, "If the song is put out and it looked like it's going to be a hit, we felt like it's going to get a lot of play, we would go to, maybe we could go to do some shows together on the road." Mm-hmm. And immediately I said yes. Cool. And but as you well know, unfortunately, something happened. But that was the story of Sam and Conway and Sam, however you want to put it.
Well, I would tell everybody to go on YouTube and check out the video because you can tell the two of you were both having a lot of fun cutting that track.
We did, Otto. We had a ball, man, until, you know, the producer had to call and say, Sam, Conway, come on, guys. You know, come on, there are other people here. George Jones and BB were going to be singing and somebody else. And I said, oh, man, this, come on, y'all got to cut all this. But, man, that was some fun. I mean, that, and laughing, man, it would. And I think if we had got a chance to really do something together, I think it would have been a lot of fun out there.
Yeah, I don't doubt it, because even this track is really incredible and sounded like it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
All right, Sam. Well, I'm going to.
Someone asked me not long ago before you go, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
Someone had recorded, was going to record, and they called me from Nashville and said, this person wanted to do the song. And I said, oh, okay, fine. You know, I didn't write it, you know, fine. They said, no. They want to record it with you. And I said, no. Right off. No, because, you know, the song now is it's history, it's in a class of its own, and I put a stamp on it to say, Conway,
yeah.
I don't think no one, man or woman, could have done better
it's
than
a great...
what was done in that studio.
Yeah, it's a great track, and it really is a magic moment, and you don't mess
it
with
is.
That. And you know what, Sam? A lot of your tracks have been magic moments. And so I want to thank you for calling in and chatting with us and telling us the story. And wish you a great night. I'm sure we'll talk again real soon.
We better, my friend. Anytime you want to talk, and we want to talk, just like Conway.
You got it. You got it. So here comes Rainy Night in Georgia with Sam Moore and Conway Twitty.
By my suitcase, trying to find a warm place to spend the night. Heavy raindrops falling, seems I hear your voice calling, it's all right. Rainy night in Georgia, a rainy night in Georgia. Lord, I believe it's raining all over the world. I feel like it's raining all over the world.
Neon signs are flashing, taxi cabs and buses passing through the night. A distant moan of a train seemed to play a sad refrain to the night. A rain.
In the boxcar, I take my guitar to pass some time.
Late at night
when it's hard to rest. I hold your little picture to my chest, and you know what? I feel fine. It's a rainy night in Georgia. Lord, I believe it's raining all over the world.
I feel like it's raining all over the world.
Ah, Sam, I think it's still raining out there.
Raining all over the world. Can't wait to it.
But you know, I kind of like it when it rains like that.
You like that?
Bring back some memories from a long time ago.
It does.
Remember how the rain used to sound?
It just makes you wanna, you know, sometimes just sit back and go, da 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 da.
Yeah, it makes me want to, but I can't, Sam.
Oh, you can do it. Try.
But I can tell you this. I remember how that rain used to sound on that tin roof back
home. Yeah, do that deep thing. I like to hear you do.
That's it. That's the one right there. Oh, Brooke Benton, where are you, son?
God, it's raining, raining.
Sam, I think I'm getting wet.
All over the world.
Woo! Good job, Sam. Yeah.
Conway!
You're listening to The Record Industry with Otto D.
And that is Rainy Night in Georgia with Sam Moore and Conway Twitty. Great, great track. And Chris is off the line. If I get him back, we'll play another cut and say goodbye. But if you can hear me, Chris, thanks for calling in and chatting. But while I had Chris and we were listening to Sam's track, I asked him what his favorite John Lennon song was. And brought to you by Randall Hedden, America's foremost speed painter. What is your favorite John Lennon song? Question was answered by Chris Keaton as Give Peace a Chance. So we're going to spin that real quick.
Two. One, two, three, four. Yeah.
little John Lennon for you. Give peace a chance. I want to thank Sam Moore for calling in, for Sam Says, for his segment, and also Chris Keaton from ChrisKeatonMusic.com. If you want to reach out to Chris, you can reach him online through his website. And I'd like to spin one last song, and this is by an artist, Sarah Jaros, from her album Build Me Up From Bones. I think it kind of represents where a lot of styles of music seem to be leaning. Americana is bleeding into pop and bleeding into pop country, bluegrass, and I think she's really got something special. This track is called Over the Edge. That's Sarah Jaros with Over the Edge. I want to thank you for tuning in tonight and listening to Chris and Sam on the show. And next week, we're going to be tearing apart a multi-track recording and kind of hearing the song in sections and in pieces so you can really recognize everything that goes into putting a track together. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And 7 o'clock West Coast time, 9 o'clock in Nashville, and 10 o'clock on the East Coast. Thanks again.